gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
Welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You're in the right place. You've got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. And we welcome you to the action tonight. You can be a part of the action. All you have to do is give us a call at 407-774-8255 as we come to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. He and his crew over there will take excellent care of your mouth and what's inside of it. All right, we're trying to take care of your head and what's inside of it by getting the nonsense out and the truth and the common sense back in. So welcome to the show. All right, I am Christopher Hart. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to ask my dentist about his great book, Mercury Free. Talk about getting some bad stuff out of your head. If you got any of those quote-unquote silver fillings, you actually got poison in your mouth and you need to get it out. All right, so 407-774-8255 is our number. I'm Christopher Hart, back in the saddle again today. The driver's seat would be the chairman of the board. Of course, the chairman of the NFL Former Players Union Nationwide, Mike McBath.
All right, Chris, great to be here. I think we're going to discuss a little bit about, which I'm excited about, the opening this Friday of the James Bond film, Spectre.
Yeah, you got some ideas going there. I can see them working around inside your head there. Well, we're also up on YouTube, and General Lucas Paris is here to tell you how you can take advantage of that. General Paris, see you, please, sir.
Well, you're going to go to YouTube, you're going to type in Adversaries TV, one word, you'll see our channel, click on it, newest videos are at the top, and as you go down, Periscope Depth, you'll find all of our older videos.
All right, that's General Paris. All right, so please take advantage of that. And by the way, you can also hear our shows at our archive on our website, which is AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, which is also, of course, where you can join the American Adversaries Army. You can even be a general like General Lucas Paris over here. So in that case, I will have to salute you like I have to salute General Paris now every day. So once again, we'd love to have you be a part of the American Adversaries Army. Before we get going, I gotta ask you a question. Did you see that Miami Hurricanes Duke game or that play at the end of it the other day?
Yes, I did, and I think you probably saw that they took and they virtually sent the refs home in the sense that they're not allowed the ref, I think, for either the next couple games or the rest of the year. I mean, there were so many fouls that took place on that last play that resulted in Miami winning the game.
Yeah, but wasn't it at the end of the day not the referees on the field, but the guys in the booth or whoever do the reviews?
You know, in suspending these refs, they obviously, and they suspended all of them, you know, so yeah. I'm sure there's blame all around, because when you saw that and actually looked at the film, you saw some blocking in the back. There was other infractions besides the fellow falling to his knee.
Yeah, it looked like
and
he was down before he lateraled the ball.
I would have thought that before they would have called it a touchdown, they would have spent a lot of time, because when you pass the ball back and forth eight times, something's going wrong. You know, there's either going to be a clip, there's going to be holding, there's going to be something.
Yeah.
And the real problem is, for the Duke fans, you just dropped from an extremely high-level bowl game, and you probably lost a couple million dollars
because
of what? One call. And even in that
one play.
Yeah, 1K. One play and one call. But, I mean, I even looked at the Tampa Bay game the other day in the Bucks. That pass interference, and, you know, close to the, when I say close to the end, I think it was in the last 15 seconds, that's a devastating call. And I didn't think the call was any good, and it changed the whole complexion of the game.
Sure.
And so these refs are paid very, very well, but that was a good point you brought up, Chris, is you know, guys, you had a lot of guys on the field. You had the guys in the booth. There should be absolutely no mistake. There's millions of dollars on this game besides the bookies, who I'm sure they're not very happy.
Yeah. So some of those
not
guys.
Not good.
We'll have to see if some of those fellas show up with broken legs or something.
Yeah, Louie's out there waiting for you, buddy.
Or maybe the fix was in. Maybe that's what was happening. Maybe we're reading this all wrong. Maybe the bookies were at the end of the day very, very happy.
Well, yeah.
But by the way, that wasn't the record of number of laterals. It's actually 15.
Wasn't that the one with the band? Remember that one with the band?
That was a famous play, but that wasn't the one with the 15 laterals.
I don't even know how you could do that without infractions, but back then, I'm not sure they had anybody with television following the whole thing or anything else. No one to review it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, well, when they think about it, I understand suspending the whole crew. Because you cost, sorry, Duke, you're minus a few $1 million on this deal.
Well, once again, though, you know, it is proven that with college football and even professional football, of course, last night, the overtime victory, that
the human element.
You got to stick around to the very end. It ain't over till it's over, right? So,
but Yogi still lives. I mean, isn't that a great quote?
In spirit, he does.
Yeah, it's not over till it's over. Does he ever? Did you see the Michigan? Okay, here's Big Michigan playing Minnesota, right? Now watch this. Minnesota's down on the two-yard line. There's two plays left in the game. First time they run the ball, they don't get a yard. They're only 2 yards away. Now it's fourth down. Minnesota can tie the game for sure. It's like 29-26. Just sit back, kick your field goal, and then go into overtime. Minnesota says, no, we're going to go for it. They didn't make it.
Right.
End of game.
Yeah.
Now,
that's a coaching decision there.
That's not the refs.
Yeah.
That was just, I don't know if that's a bad decision because it's still 50-50 when you get into overtime. So sure. I think, that's all right.
Yeah. There was a saying, I think, in basketball that if you're away, you play for the win. If you're home, you play for a tie in a situation like that. Now, I don't know if they do that in football. But anyway, of course, in politics, you got to play for the win. You can't play for the tie. But and there's some new polls out, and Donald Trump and Ben Carson are in a neck-and-neck race. We got a whole slew of them out. Mostly they're good news for Donald Trump, at least on the surface of it. And there are some polls that show Ben Carson in the lead, and there are a number of them that show them really in a dead heat. So we'll go through some of those numbers with you here real quick. I don't know if any of you happened to see Ben Carson yesterday. He was in the Villages, and then he was supposed to be down at the Books a Million in Kissimmee. If there are any of you out there who happened to catch him at one or the other of those events and would like to call and tell us about it, certainly we'd love to hear about it. Evidently, at the Villages, you had like 3,000 people who showed up to get his book, and it's kind of now part of being a candidate that you have to have a book.
Yeah.
Right, and maybe about your life. With some of them are more autobiographical, or autobiographical. You know what I'm saying?
Autobiographical.
Thank you very, very much. And
that's what I'm here for.
That's what you got right. And then the others are more, you know, this is my plan type thing. But everybody's got to have a book. But he's got a book out. Actually, there's a couple of books out by him. But his latest book is out, and he's doing the tour. And it's a clever, I believe, also campaign mechanism.
No, it's a nice way to draw a crowd.
Yeah.
And also get paid while you draw the crowd.
Yeah.
And as you know, the Villages is really a stronghold for the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
And what I'm always amused at, every time there's a major election, those people are right on the highway there with signs. I mean, it's great. I love to see. And you know what? Once they get their Obamacare bill, they're going to be there with billboards instead of signs. I can tell you this, which we'll get in a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that a little bit later. We'll be talking also about what Barack Obama wants to be remembered, one of the things he'd like to be remembered for.
I can give him a whole list of things he'll be remembered for.
Yeah, exactly that.
I don't think being remembered is going to be a problem for him.
Yeah.
Without trying to forget him.
Yeah, absolutely. The Keystone Pipeline's been put on hold. And a United States Department of Defense surveillance satellite using infrared cameras picked up a heat flash the other day when that airplane went down. So it looks more and more like there was definitely a there was an explosion. What caused it is now to be determined, but there was definitely an explosion in midair. But to get back to the new poll numbers, the worst news for Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush is they're both losing big to Donald Trump in Florida.
That's a tough pill to swallow, too, and particularly
it's gotta be for those
guys. With all the money that Bush has invested here in the state of Florida, all the time he worked here as governor.
This is their home state.
And he's like, that's right. I mean, is that embarrassing? But then the other side of it, Donald Trump is a movie star image, but Donald Trump also has built absolutely fabulous complexes down here, hired many, many thousands of people, and I'm not surprised.
Well, and part of the problem each one of them has is, of course, the other, right?
That's correct.
They're both Florida boys, and they're playing for both of them playing for the Florida vote. So they're pretty much splitting, I believe, the Florida vote that would go to one or the other of them were one or the other of them not in the race. Let's say Jeb gets out. Which, by the way, Donald Trump called for him today to do, which I don't think is the smart thing for Trump right now. For Trump right now, the more the merrier, especially when it comes to Rubio and Jeb, because they are splitting the Florida vote. So in a Florida viewpoint poll, let's take, for instance, Trump leads with 27%. Then you have Rubio second at 16, Carson third at 15, both tied, you know, that's neck and neck. Mm-hmm. Then you have Cruz at 12 and Jeb at 12. Let's say Jeb drops off. And that vote is most likely ain't going to go to Cruz, right? Most likely not going to go to Ben Carson. Most likely going to go to Rubio. I'd say 10, or at least 10 out of that 12 is going to go to Rubio. But let's just say all of it goes to Rubio. He jumps up to 28%. Now he's in a dead heat with Donald Trump. Yeah. Let's look at a Florida News 13 poll. You've got Trump, this one's more devastating for the hometown boys. Trump at 37%. Oof. Then you drop down to 17%. For Carson, 16 for Rubio, and you go down in the single digits for Jeb. So in that poll, even if Jeb were to drop out and all those votes go to Rubio, he would jump into second place, still about 12 points, though, behind Trump. But nonetheless, it would vault him clearly into second place and make him clearly the establishment candidate. And of course the reverse is true too. If for some reason Rubio goes into a nosedive and Jeb's able to hang around, then I believe the opposite is true as well. Except that I believe with Rubio, I believe some of his voters might actually go to Ted Cruz.
Is this a winner take all state or is it in proportion? Winner takes all.
This is.
I'd say Trump's in good shape.
That's why I say the more,
really
the merrier
shape.
For Trump.
Yep.
The more that are in the race, they're going to dilute rest of that vote. He can win this thing with 30%.
Do you think Charlie Crist could switch over to give us more votes? he's running for, I have no idea whether he's running for.
He'll just wet and stick his butt up in the air to see which way the wind is blowing, right? And there's some other polls out, too. We'll go over those numbers as well when we get back. So don't go away. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And we'll be right back after this short break. And away we go, USA. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got us here until 7 o'clock tonight. You can be a part of the show at 407-774-8255. And don't forget, just a little bit later on in the show, like last night, we've got some tickets to give away to A Taste in the Park at Maitland Civic Center. That is A Taste in the Park, isn't it? Yeah, A Taste in the Park at the Maitland Civic Center for the Jewish Pavilion this Sunday from noon to 3, and we're going to have some tickets to give away here shortly, so keep that phone close by. All right, so first of all, before we get back to the new poll numbers out, there are local races going on, like in Orlando, the mayor's race. Old Pudge Dyer is up for his fifth term as mayor. I mean, how many times?
There's no automatic term limits or anything like
God
what, maybe
almighty.
A decade. That's not good enough.
No, and Orlando has a tradition of having mayors who stay there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And this guy has been there for a long time. And he's up against a couple of opponents. I got out and did my duty today. I live in the city limits, so I voted. And no, I didn't vote for Pudge. There are a number of people who are upset with that 17% hike in our property tax bill or property taxes for the city of Orlando. So we'll see if Pudge has run.
You know, where is the management?
Worn out his welcome.
Yeah, where is the management of the budget? I mean, for that is, and that is just too much for the populace. I mean, can't the guy realize that? And you know what? You, the people, deserve to say goodbye. You know what I mean?
Goodbye to Pudge.
Yeah.
So, but the polls will be open until 7 o'clock. So
17%.
If you live in the city limits of Orlando and haven't yet voted, get out, please, and vote. And you have until 7 o'clock to get in line. And I'm sure there won't be much of a line if you go to vote in these races. That's why they hold them, you know, at these odd times, off years, I should say, so nobody shows up. The lower the turnout, the better for guys like Pudge Dyer. And there are also some city council seats up for re-election as well. So
there were a couple planes flying around downtown. There was downtown playing tennis.
Yeah.
And you could see them.
Some
and
campaign
they
banners.
They were not on behalf of Pudge.
But, cool.
But like you said, it was so, there was just, you wouldn't even know there was any form of election going on. There was no traffic, no anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you do, you just organize your little group and they carry you forward. But that's why you need term limits.
Right.
It's amazing. You never hear about this for the state, for the city, for the national, just no term limits. And that would cure so many, many, many problems.
All right. Speaking of national, NBC Wall Street Journal has a new national poll out that shows Ben Carson. This is a nationwide poll. Ben Carson in the lead with 29. Trump second with 23. Then you got Rubio, Cruz, then Jeb, and then Fiorina. And Carson has jumped 7 points in this poll. Trump dropped 2. Rubio actually dropped 2 in that poll. This is a post-debate. No, excuse me. This is a pre-debate poll. And then the best chance to win, actually, though, Trump, 32, Carson, 25, Rubio, 12, Bush, 8. There is a morning consult poll. This is a nationwide poll. Shows Trump, 31, Carson, 29. Then you drop all the way down to 9 for Cruz. Then you got Bush at 7, Rubio at 7. You got a New Hampshire Monmouth poll. Shows Trump clearly in the lead, 26, Carson 16, Rubio 13, John Kasich at 11, and Cruz at 9. Iowa poll. This is a public policy poll. Trump 22, Carson 21, Cruz 14, Rubio 10, Jeb 6. And then you have, once again, the Florida Viewpoint poll, Trump 27, Rubio 16, Carson 15, Cruz 12, Jeb 12. And if you're wondering about Hillary and Bernie Sanders, the NBC Wall Street Journal national poll shows Hillary at 62, Sanders at 31. And so that's the way the polls are breaking out at this time. Trump is clearly in the lead. He came out with a new book today.
Yes, he did.
Once again, we were talking about everybody's got to have a book. He's actually got, of course, a number of books that he's been co-author of.
You've seen the name of the title, Crippling America.
Crippling and, America, yeah.
And again, he did a great job today. He did an announcement of the book, and he had a big audience, huge audience.
Yep.
And he really went through his pitch. I mean, it was just a really, as we said, selling books is a great way to make money while you're campaigning, because he did the same act as he does everywhere else, but he reinforces his argument. He shows he's committed. He shows enthusiasm. And he really seems like a nice guy. He seems nicer and nicer and nicer. So I don't see him fading. Sorry.
He's not going anywhere anytime soon. Now, there's one more debate before there'll be a month-long break. In other words, there'll be one debate in November and one in December. And
right.
Then we get into the voting season. The next debate is going to be that Fox Business Channel debate, and then there'll be a CNN debate, which Salem Communications, I believe, is going to be a participant in that as well. Salem Media Group, I'm sorry. And that will be in December. And so after this debate, you know, kind of things are going to more or less I believe, pretty much holds steady until you get to the first of the year. And if these numbers here hold steady, looking good for the Donster.
And think about it, though, Chris. Even Trump, will, I'll bet you he's out there more than most of the other candidates. I'll bet you he will have more
visibility.
Yes, and he'll have scheduled one speaking engagement after another. His mm-hmm. kids will be out there. He will hustle that month strongly.
The thing that Trump has going for him is he's doing this on a shoestring budget.
Yep.
Look at the results he's getting literally on a shoestring budget. You know, when we first started doing the show, the first little giveaway that we had
right.
was shoestrings with the American Adversaries on it. And people say, shoestrings? I said, yeah, because we're on a shoestring budget, right? Actually gave a couple of pairs to Marco Rubio downtown mm-hmm. when he gave a Tea Party speech down there 2010, but that's part of that's something that Carson is having problems with. Though he's raising money hand over fist, but he's spending money hand over fist.
And has he really? Does he really?
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's our little jingle for the big Don Trump there. That's what they played. Used to play for him anyway.
I think that's a great theme song.
Come down the ramp on the WWE events.
I'm sure the liberals are offended by that. That's why I'd play it louder if I was him.
Exactly. And by the way, he does not solicit donations. He's ordered people who have formed PACs. He has his lawyers send out letters to disband the PACs. He doesn't want anything to do with them. But still people send him money. And he said the other day, and by the way, in the third quarter, I believe he raised like somewhere between $3 and $4 million without soliciting it. Mm-hmm. This is just people sending him money. And he says usually it's in small amounts, and a lot of times it comes with a letter. And he said they talked about it, what they should do about it. And he said, you know, really, you know, he kind of wants to send the money back, but he thought that that would seem kind of rude and, you know, it's like, you know, I don't need your money kind of thing. He didn't mm-hmm. want to send that message. He said this was, you know, this was a nice gesture. It was, you know, it's kind of like if someone gives you a gift, you don't want to refuse it. I mean, you don't want to deny them the pleasure of giving you the gift, right?
That's correct.
So he is taking that money, but he is not soliciting it, and he will use it on the campaign. But one of the things, like, once again, is his overhead is extremely low, so he can get a lot of mileage out of very little money. When you have your own jet, it makes it a lot easier to fly around, right? I'm sorry, was it?
I think what he's training even the politicians who are running against him, they see all the money they spend, they see how little money he spends, then they realize, geez, I've been a politician all my life and he's been a businessman all my life. Wonder who would run the budget smarter and more efficiently, do we think?
Do you think?
Yeah. We got that one down.
All right. Speaking of thinking, we want y'all to put your thinking caps on because I think Thursday we're going to do another little contest. The mics come up with an idea here. Now this is going to be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, this is. Right? We're going to make you like a junior movie producer. You got about 30 seconds to answer this. And I'm going to give you a real example. I'm a big James Bond fan, and as we all know, it opens Friday around the country. But I had a nightmare the other day. I was thinking while I was asleep that, oh, my God, what if the PC, the politically correct people, took control of this movie? What would happen to all these scenes?
You mean they haven't already?
I know. Would James be the macho man he is, or would he fade into something else?
Right.
So what I decided to do is I'm going to draw up the opening scene, because the opening scene really sets the agenda for the film.
Okay.
And that's what we want our listeners to do. Just within 30, 45 seconds, you set up...
30 seconds.
30 seconds, Chris. You set up the opening scene. And I'm going to start with mine just to give you a general idea. The movie Spectra opens up with James Bond walking out of a health club having just received a coffee enema by Starbucks. As he steps outside and hops into his new Tesla instead of the Austin Martin,
right?
He immediately checks his stun gun and he looks at his Apple Watch to receive his assignment. The cartel, now, beyond, excuse me, one second, look at his assignment.
Right.
Bond is told his assignment is to break a worldwide fracking cartel. The cartel has freed billions of people from poverty to extremely low energy due to extremely low energy prices. The two main villains of this fracking cartel is a gay man named Mr. D. That doesn't stand for Dallas. There's also a transgender named Switch. Bond must convince these two villains to let gas prices rise and put more people back into poverty so that the world's politicians have a job. Now, you, the listener, need to put a scene right. like this together.
All right. That went over 30 seconds, though. All right. That's the challenge. What would be the politically correct, in your view, opening scene for the new Bond movie? Oh, my Lord.
I mean, can you imagine if they – and I'm actually getting scared that they are going to get into this. You know, as corny as it sounds, I can see some real changes. And didn't I see that the Bond that plays it now is – that's it for him? I think he
this
said –
This is his last one.
This is his last one, too.
Yeah.
He's going to tie Pierce Brosnan four films.
Yeah. Four, is that right?
Yeah, yeah well, oh, yeah. So we'll see. But, you know, the challenge is on the table. We have many people that will, you know, rise to the challenge.
Yeah.
But to do it in 30 seconds is going to be tough. But I think if they get four or five good sentences off – they get a shot to become a junior producer.
Yeah,
we may have laying down the gauntlet there.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. All right. By the way, do you have a favorite Bond movie? You said you're a big Bond fan.
I like Casino Royale. I thought that was a real good
pretty
one.
Good one.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know,
I go for the old ones. I like You Only Live Twice.
View to a Kill.
That was right.
View to a Kill. That's a good
View
one.
View to a Kill. That was very
that's a good,
good
one too.
But they're all exciting movies. That, you know, but I just cringe if these PC people got to it and all of a sudden everything that we imagined was macho and this and that changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Real quick. Also, don't forget, 2 weeks from last night is going to be our pizza eating challenge at Cafe Positano.
Telling you, we're getting a strong lineup.
Strong field, that's
it's
right.
It's going to be impressive. This is sort of like Reggie 2. You know, you've heard of Rocky 2 and Mr. T and everybody.
Yeah.
Well, Reggie got pounded in the last one. This is a guy, he's about 6'1", 265 pounds.
Reggie Branch, Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, he played
champ.
In the Super Bowl. I mean, high quality guy. And when it came to shoving that spaghetti down, he was blown away.
It was all in the technique.
We had a couple women in the contest. I think we had a total of 10 people. The winner was a UCF student.
Yep.
And what
he'll be back.
I know. What shocks us is his father is bringing his brother to compete in this contest, too.
Yep.
Now, I may have a surprise guest.
The uncle and the nephew.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got a surprise guest. Might show up about 6'8", 260 pounds.
Oh, my.
And he said he's gunning for that. I shouldn't use those words. It's a little more. He's looking to beat our young man from UCF. So this should be a real exciting contest.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You're all invited. The Pred Nation will be there again in all their regalia.
That's exactly. And that is regalia. I mean, that itself is worth a trip just to get over to see these costumes and uniforms. I mean, they actually, you know, as we know, they're the number one fan club in the country ahead of the Dog Pound and everything else. So, you know, if you haven't even seen the Pred Nation, that in itself is very interesting. Plus, there's entertainment. Right, Chris, as the pizza ends.
That's right, yeah. James Hall is going to be there playing the trumpet, and Grant Malloy is going to be there playing the banjo again.
Right.
And so it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Plus, we got some prizes to give away, door prizes and things. And we got some other plans, too, that we're working on, we'll be talking about over the next few days.
Chris, I'm giving away my Hillary for Prison 2016 bumper sticker, too. So, you know, somebody could proudly wear that.
Difficult for you to part with that. I know.
It's going to break my heart, but I have a few more left.
All right. So, speaking of heartbreaking, Our dear and glorious president has been sitting, well, he sat for an interview with Lester Holt, the anchor for NBC Evening News, and they showed part of the interview last night. I believe there's to air the other part of it tonight. I don't know, because, of course, we're on the air at 6:30 when they have that show. But Barack was on there last night, and evidently one of the questions was, what would he like to be remembered for? And that is... you know, after his term ends.
Oh,
you know,
I get it.
His legacy or, you know, whatever. And one of the things that he said was he wants to be remembered for starting, and I quote now, a new discussion on racial inequality. He wants to be remembered for starting a new discussion on racial inequality.
It was, you know, it's been a one-way discussion if you really think about this.
Well,
he says everything. And most people are too polite to tell him what an idiot he is. And, well, I mean, I'd be happy to have an open discussion with him on racial equality.
Here's the community organizer slash agitator's idea of a new discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You rip the community apart. You rip open old wounds,
mm-hmm.
right? You create and distortions. You give life to lies. And you mm-hmm. cause people to lose their lives. That's the new discussion we have going mm-hmm. on. Black, you call Black Lives Matter marching in the street, chanting
Ferguson,
fry police like bacon.
Yeah.
And of course, we know why they say bacon, right? That's
right.
The reference to, you know, the old 60s. Remember the 60s
Pigs.
Hippies? Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
So it's the same crowd, same old crap, just new flies. And this guy himself is just a new fly hovering around the same old crap. And that's what he wants to be remembered for. Well, he will be remembered for being one of the most divisive presidents in U.S. history, contrary to what he promised.
It'd be hard to describe his achievements without using profanity. I mean, look at you, man. He's probably lobbying to become the chairman of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, that's right.
And he'd be a good one. I think he'd fit in there absolutely perfect with his style.
Absolutely. Let's go to Chief, who's on the line right now. Chief, thank you for calling tonight.
Thank you for taking my call. Y'all are great Americans.
Thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you very much.
Being out there, sir.
Well, I'm a concealed weapons permit carrier. I've been one for a while and, you know, been fortunate enough to be around firearms in my life, so I, you know how to handle them. And kind of excited about the open carry coming up. And I heard this morning that there was a secret vote from, I think, the sheriffs in Florida, and it was 70% opposed it. And just wanted to see if you knew anything about that or if that was factual.
Yeah, they did. They got together, in essence, in secret, and sort of polled it themselves and came out with, a statement to the politicians that they are overwhelmingly against this idea. And, you know, they have the right to have their opinion, to express it. The question is, did they do something wrong by, basically doing this in secret?
Is there a sunshine law or something?
For all elected officials in the state of Florida, there's supposed to be, yeah. So we'll see if this goes anywhere. Obviously, you know, sheriffs, you know, breaking the law in mass like that is not a good
good sign of freedom and justice for all.
Can I actually add one more thing? My thing is, if it's done in secret, we have to trust the one. I mean, how do we know that they are in opposition to it?
Who gave the results
out? The numbers
out.
Have been skewed.
Well, and of course, that's why you want things like this to be done in the open, so that there isn't this element of doubt, right? Which is what you just expressed, which is obviously going to creep up whenever you do things in secrecy. You know, and that's a lesson, for instance, that Hillary Clinton can't get around. She does so much in secrecy, even if she isn't doing anything wrong, it looks like she is.
Exactly.
And the same thing goes with these guys. Even if they didn't do anything, and gals, I presume maybe there are some female sheriffs in the state of Florida here, not just deputies. But even if they didn't do anything wrong, it looks bad. It looks like maybe they did do something wrong. And certainly, if this was official public business rather than just getting together, sort of quote unquote shooting the breeze, then it should have been done in the open because of the sunshine laws.
Is that something you would vote on? Can you imagine if we voted and approved marijuana the same day we had voted open carry? That would be a nice combination.
Well, we will be voting on the one. The legislator will be voting on the legislature. Yeah. Will be voting on the other, mm-hmm. because these bills are moving through the Senate and the House committees toward a vote when the legislature comes back in session early next year. Chief, thanks for being out there and being vigilant. I should say, we appreciate you.
Thank you all, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Chief.
You do the same. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we've got a lot more to talk about. We'll talk a little bit more about things that Barack Obama will be remembered for besides what he wants to be remembered for.
That's a contest in itself.
It is. We'll have to do that one.
Yeah, that's, oh, boy. That's a sure winner.
We'll be back.
I mean, Chris, you realize how far in advance we were with that name for this Joker? I mean, think about it.
You know,
I'm serious. He dances around everything. He can't give a straight answer, he's very narcissistic.
Let me tell you how this happened, folks. Mike came in to the show. This was, this past spring, I think it was. Maybe
about 6-7 months ago.
Yeah, when the Jordanian pilots who had been captured by the Islamic State were burned alive in a cage. And then the King of Jordan came out and denounced it and denounced them and actually flew some missions. He's a pilot and he's a member of the Jordanian Air Force. And Mike comes in one day and he says, you know what we got to do? We got to take that Dancing Queen music, that ABBA tune. And it is ABBA, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, ABBA. And apply that to Barack Obama because the Jordanians get the warrior king,
a macho man, fighter pilot, special forces. And what is our guy?
The Dancing Queen.
Yeah, community organizer, right. Pot smoking.
Seen with the two little, 2-pound dumbbells working out like a. Oh
to
my
this
God.
Day, that.
It was like he was working out to a Jane Fonda, workout video.
Oh, I know.
So we've come up with a list of bumper music that we use for different personalities and situations. Amongst them, we use the Beatles tune Loser, for instance, for Hillary Clinton. Yep. Well, lo and behold, I'm listening to Hugh Hewitt last week, right, as mm-hmm. I'm driving home. He's from 7 o'clock mm-hmm. till 10, I think. And he plays that Loser tune. And then he says, and that's for all the, I think he talked to the debate moderators or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he was doing what we
have done many times in the past.
Do you suppose?
And John Kerry's song. It was The Great Pretender.
The Great Pretender. Yes. I mean, we got a whole list.
That's exactly right. So we're way out in front of the media world.
Yeah, indeed we are.
Two swinging guys from South Jersey.
All right. So Barack Obama wants to be remembered for starting a new discussion on racial inequality. Of course, he had to make the racial situation very, very bad so we can have this new discussion on racial inequality. In other words, race relations in this nation are at a low point since the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
That's how far back, and this is not just me saying this. This the polls show this as well. White people especially, but black people also in significant numbers, believe that race relations in this country are worse off since Barack Obama became president. Now, different people have different reasons why. Obviously, some blacks believe that those race relations are worse because we can't stand the idea that a black man is president of the United States. Of course, we don't give a damn what color the guy is. What we care about is where his politics are, right?
As I always mention, too.
I mean, I always thought Bill Clinton was lily white, and I hate his politics, too.
We all voted against white people all our lives.
Right.
So what's the story of? Well, I'd like to go back to our May 4th story, right, Chris, with Newsweek on their last publication, when they absolutely blasted Obama into oblivion, and this is a liberal organization, and all they did was show what a flawed individual this guy was, and their final statement, in essence, close to the final statement, was the only reason he was elected president was what?
They didn't do their job. Well, actually, the white vote.
Right.
Yeah, but and they didn't do their job. That the Newsweek article Mike's talking about. Yeah.
They didn't do what the media was supposed to do. They never vetted them. They never questioned like anybody who's ever run before. And he never had any qualifications. They made it so candid. They said that if he were white, he would have never been elected.
Yep.
And that's putting it right on the line, and it's right there. Go read the article, Newsweek, May 4th. And or you know
they just, were caught up in the feel good moment,
right?
You know, first African American president.
Bring the world together.
Oh yeah,
peace and harmony.
Gave him the Peace Prize and all that. Well, now he's going to be remembered not only for tearing this nation apart in terms of racial relations, because he doesn't know how to be a healer. All he knows how to be is
a divider.
Well, he's an agitator. That's what community organizers, quote unquote, do. They organize agitation. They organize. Political movements to change the way things are. And that's all they know how to do. He doesn't know how to improve. He doesn't know how to bring people together. He just knows how to tear them apart, which he's very good at. And then, of course, you can look overseas in the Middle East and see more of his handiwork, right? All across the Middle East. Look at the situation in Libya. Look at the situation in Iraq.
Right. And you know, Chris,
look at the situation in Afghanistan.
He has proven he has no talent at all for actually reading the other people, other leaders, anything else. This has just been a complete disaster with this fella, particularly with all our foreign nations and everything. It's a disaster.
And he has the ultimate arrogance to think that anybody else doesn't know as much as he knows about where things should be and how to get them there.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, no human being possesses that knowledge. And that's why wiser people rely on the counsel of other people who know much more about the situation. But in his opinion, for instance, the military, what do they know? Right, they're the ones who got us into Iraq in the first place. How can I rely on them now? They're the ones who got us in there in the first place, right? Well, I know better than them. Yeah. So, you know, it's we'll be remembering him for a lot of things, but not the things he wants us to remember him for.
No, I mean, that
or,
will
or
have
at least
to be,
not in the way that he wants us to remember him.
Later on, that'll have to be a contest. I mean, I'm not sure I could think of too many good things. I could think of a litany of just massive bad things this guy has done for this nation.
Absolutely, including the Affordable Care Act. And we'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
I got a good story for you on that one.
True
life story, you know, not my neighbor. Or somebody down there. No, you're talking to the guy.
Good. Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get back. And don't forget, we got a couple of pairs of tickets to give away to A Taste in the Park, which is this Sunday from noon to 3 at the Maitland Civic Center. Over 60 food vendors. My God, how can you taste something from 60 vendors?
Now, are they all doing wine?
I don't know.
That would be a short walk in the park
You'll
if they were.
You'll have to go to find out. Please don't go away. Show, folks, or welcome to the show. If you're just now tuning in, you've got the American Adversaries. It's dark outside. I'm looking out the window and I can't see a thing. 407-774-8255 is the number as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Please don't forget, for the best in mercury free, health centered and What's the other one? Oh, yeah. Just general dentistry. Call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. Christopher Hart here, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. And you can see what we're up to by going to YouTube, where we have our Adversaries TV channel. Tell them how easy it is there, General Paris.
Go to YouTube, and in the search bar, type in Adversaries TV. That's the quickest way to find us. It's one word, Adversaries TV. Click on the channel. Our newest videos, which we have four up already, are going to be right there at the top. Everything else is in descending order. So come to Periscope Depth with us.
Hey, Chris, did you see any good Halloween costumes this weekend, though? I saw a couple. I'm going to name mine, but did you see anything that really sparked you?
Not really. No.
Really?
No.
I saw two, which somewhat ran in the theme of what we talked about. I saw one. Now, this is cute. They really took from.
I did see a guy dressed up like he was been to Chernobyl.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's probably a U.S. citizen 20 years from now, unfortunately. That I don't want to hear. But I did see one, the Hillary mask. The person had on a jail uniform, then they had blood all over their hands. Then I saw a Barack Obama head mask.
Right.
And then it had like a mechanical thing inside it that the nose would move in and out. And then the mechanical thing would go, "Hi, I'm Barack Obama. I never lie." The nose extends out. Then, "Hi." It was the funniest thing I ever saw. I mean, these are the type of things that people want to wear to the Democratic political convention.
Absolutely.
Could you imagine having a bunch of women dress up, put on the Hillary face, which would make them pretty ugly, and then put on a prison suit?
No, you get
and
you
then
much,
put blood on their hands.
No, you're doing it all wrong. You get you a bunch of Caitlyn's to put on the Hillary face.
Yeah, that's true, too. Well, they all could, gather there for a big party.
You just pop the
pop
a wig on some pears, and there you go.
Political Halloween.
Political Halloween.
Yeah, we have that, unfortunately, every day up in Washington.
Indeed, everybody's
hiding.
Indeed, we do. All right, new polls out. Don't want to go through all the numbers again. If you missed them in the first hour, you can go to our archive at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com and get all the poll numbers. But suffice it to say, other than one NBC national poll, which shows Ben Carson ahead over Donald Trump, all the other polls show Donald Trump in lead, or in one other one, he's close with Carson in Iowa. But all the other national polls and Florida polls, several Florida polls, show Donald Trump way out in front. Rubio and Jeb are well back in the pack. Carson and Cruz are players. Those five names seem to be the names that appear in all of the polls in the top five or six. Kasich is an outlier. He's jumped up in a Monmouth, New Hampshire poll, and of course, New Hampshire is the state he has staked his whole campaign on. He's in fourth place with 11, but Trump is comfortably in the lead in all of these polls. We have one more debate a week from tonight, a Fox News channel debate.
And then we're
Neil
safe.
Neil Cavuto and Maria Bartiromo are going to be the main moderators.
Well, they're business-related individuals, and I think they'll do a pretty fair job.
Cavuto, if he is a moderator the way he is
on the show, I mean, he's a little sarcastic, but he's pretty good.
But he has a tendency to ask good, crisp questions.
Right.
You know, not these monologue questions, but a good, crisp question. And where you're actually eliciting the answer more than you're trying to make a statement, right?
And don't you think all these moderators certainly have been warned after that last debate? I'd make sure my question is straightforward, quick, and then I step out of the way.
Well, yes and no. I said, though, with the media, the mainstream media.
Well, they want recognition. The last group got it.
Yeah, and look at the reaction that we're beginning to see now. I'm beginning to think that these moderators were pushing the limit, and we're going to just continue to push the limit until they got the reaction that they got, knowing that they would get that reaction. And possibly knowing that some of these candidates might start threatening to pull out of the debate or something like that. And, of course, once a candidate does that, then they get all over them about, you know, you're not tough enough, you're a coward, whatever. And lo and behold, now that these candidates have all gotten together to talk about changing the rules or whatever, guess who's out there now all of a sudden, you know, calling them basically a bunch of cowards.
Right.
Barack Obama.
I know. Here's the guy who was never vetted that has the audacity to make those statements.
But he makes a point that we made on the show. We had a caller Friday about this. Al, he called in yesterday about it. And that is that if you can't stand up to these more, and by the way, Chris Christie and Donald Trump have basically said the same thing. If we can't stand up to these morons, how can we expect to be really president of the United States? I mean, in essence, you're dealing with morons here.
Right.
You know, that's the level of mentality that would elicit this type of behavior from a moderator in a presidential debate.
Don't you hate to see time wasted with a moronic question? Because there's 8 minutes per guy?
It is.
And I think that's a sin. The American public deserves better.
They do. We do. That's where I said they should, instead of doing away with the moderators, change the format.
Right.
You change the format so that the moderator has to ask the same question of each candidate. Each candidate gets a minute to answer the same question. You can ask whatever you want. But each candidate is going to have a say in it. And then you reduce the number of candidates on stage. You have two or three groups. And so it could be done right. But it is not being done right. But the risk for the Republican candidates is if they go after the moderators and say, we're not going to allow you. I thought it was not a very smart thing for Ted Cruz to say that only Republican moderators should be allowed to moderate a Republican debate. I don't think that's very smart because that's not the tradition of American journalism here I'm talking of American politics, which is adversarial in nature. And you have to look at it this way too. Guess who got the biggest bumps after the debate last week? It was the candidates who did what?
Right.
Who went after the bozos in the media. It's an opportunity.
Right.
You know, they're giving you in their own way a softball to be able to stand up there and whack them upside the head a couple of times. That's great for Republicans, for the base.
I think it would be a lot of fun.
You remember four years ago it was Newt Gingrich in North Carolina.
Right, exactly.
You know, all of a sudden he's ahead in the polls till he gets down here to Florida when Mitt Romney ran all those polls about him. But what's interesting, Chris, negative ads.
When you see these polls, though, like the Florida poll, how is Jeb really going to move up much when we all know him? And, you know, he's been around here forever.
What can
he do? Show me how he can juggle balls or maybe, you know, walk on ice. Can he do the move that he can't?
This to me shows us the sad state of the Republican establishment and their thinking in terms of this primary. And this should give us some indication as to their ability to beat the Clinton machine, which is what we'll be up against, it appears, in the general election. And they are waiting for the front runners to, quote unquote, fade away.
Don't think so, do you? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
It's kind of like playing some sort of perverted prevent defense, right? We'll just lay back and wait.
Yeah, what we do, we won't rush the passer. We'll just let them throw it anytime they want and give them all the time they need. That's about what you're looking at. This is not going to, because we all know Jeb. He's a wonderful man. He's just not the right guy.
No, he's not for the time, that's for sure. Let's go ahead and take Dave. Dave, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
I have a quick question for you. Well, actually, it's a two-part question. I guess Darren Wilson is not giving interviews because he's fallen off the face of the earth. He had to quit, obviously did nothing wrong, but what has he been doing since? And a church, I believe, in Chicago offers $25,000 reward to find out who shot a 9-year-old. Why aren't the talking heads, you know, your radio stations and the syndicated shows, why aren't they talking about that?
Well,
you know, Black Lives Matter did another uproar someplace, disrupted. I saw a little blurb on the repeat of O'Reilly last night, but I was half asleep, so I don't know. But what the bleep is going on? A 9-year-old is shot in the head, and nobody gets a rat's ass.
Well,
Darren Wilson had to quit. I don't know if he's on unemployment or what, but if you look cross-eyed at an African-American, you lose your effing job. Are you bleeping kidding me?
Well, that's where we're at, thanks to that. You know, that this is the real quick, Dave. This is the new discussion on racial inequality that Barack Obama wants us to remember him for, see?
People are afraid of talking about the elephant in the room. It's about time we take the bull by the horns and say, okay, Hoss. You know,
well, you're right.
Discussion. Let's have a bleeping discussion. Well, you create crimes more than your population. You commit murder like it's going out of style. And yet, if we bring these facts up, we're in trouble.
Dave, you know, another thing. You remember the Guardian Angels from the
70s.
Oh, sure. Remember how they would go into New York and stand on the corners and all that? I would like to see the wonderful Black Lives Matter get all your people together, you know, and why don't you, during the weekends when it's like, you know, World War II in the neighborhoods, why don't you all go stand on the corners and help prevent these shootings? Oh, well, you know, we don't want to do that. Well, who do you want to do that? The white policeman?
Anonymous has released, allegedly, the KKK roster. Well, what about the Black Panthers? Remember those fine, upstanding individuals?
Oh, I know. I used to laugh at Black Panthers.
At the polling booth, and nothing happened to them?
Right. Yeah, I know. That was
in
Chicago.
Eric Holder protected them.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. There's definitely...
I'm furious. Nobody's taken to task the former attorney general.
Well, you know, we
bleeping real.
You're right, and you should be outraged. And there's a lot of the rest of us are outraged too. And you're right. We talk about it.
Nobody cares.
People care, but they don't know what to do.
And the other thing, Chris, we're going into a political season, and right. I mean, I think if it's ever to be discussed, it'll be right after the elections and then go to it.
Well,
I think these politicians are chicken to discuss it.
Well, this is why I think Ben Carson has a place in the next administration.
I agree.
I would think as vice president, because he's a healer. That's what he does. And he could perhaps begin the process of a spiritual healing in this country that we can actually deal in a serious way with what you're talking about, Dave, because that's what
Illinois should have the National Guard out there and quell this.
Well, it's
uprising street by street.
Well,
it's been ridiculous.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of
Orlando every night. Is another shooting. Now, it's no big deal. Are you kidding me? I've lived here 27 years.
No, everybody becomes callous to it. You're not kidding.
We sort of begin to where we look past it. But you're right. And this is why what the president does is so important and why
Absolutely.
What this president has done is so devastating.
Well, he's leading from behind.
Well,
way behind.
Yeah, he's leading with his behind.
Yeah.
Dave, I appreciate you being out there. Just please continue to listen to the show and
take your blood pressure medicine, Dave.
Yeah, really. And feel free to call and express your outrage at any time. But
it's good to hear this is great.
You know, it just makes me think, you know, and Nostradamus, when he hears this, he's probably going to put his head in his hands. But you know what we need? We need more airtime.
We must purge society.
We need a 3-hour Monday through Friday show. Please join the American
Adversaries Army. Just taking my evenings.
That's right.
For guys like Dave out there, we do, that just vent their frustrations.
Well, you know, every day I go home and still have a lot of stuff that we never get to.
That's why I drink.
We'll be back. All right. right, welcome back to the show, folks. You ever feel like you're in the danger zone like Dave? Well, you're in the right place. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, where you, too, can call and express your feelings at 407-774-8255 as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget, 2 weeks from yesterday, that's November the 16th, 5 o'clock. We'll start our show. We'll be live at Cafe Positano. And, of course, we'll be doing our pizza eating challenge. We'll do it live on the radio. Mike's going to be doing play-by-play.
Play-by-play, pizza by pizza.
Ken V. Heck with some color commentary. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Chris, now, how big a pizza is the initial offering to our...
Pasquale was saying 18 inches.
18 inches?
18-inch pizza.
And then we're going to go piece by piece.
They have to eat the whole 18-inch pizza first, and then slice by slice.
Okay, and there's going to be no boxes to take home with or anything. I hope not.
They might need a bag to...
When we go slice by slice, do you think we will go to like a sardine pizza?
I don't know if we'll do that.
I think you give them that and then you give them a bucket. I think that's how we can finish them off.
I don't know.
If they're eating too much, bring out the sardines, throw them on top of the pizza, and finish them off. Wouldn't that be horrible? You're stuffed and everything. You're about to win, and they hand you a sardine pizza?
Mm-mm. I don't know. Some of them might just
actually
enjoy
okay
that.
With sardines. I like fish, though.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, but you're all invited. Of course, there'll be no cover charge. We'll have some door prizes, raffle prizes, and there'll be live entertainment all evening long, not just the pizza challenge. Of course, that's very entertaining. But
we had a great crowd. There were a lot of friendly people, and everybody got to get to know each other.
It's a lot of fun, yep. And
invent their frustrations.
Yep.
And if you have any, just tell Chris. I'll be somewhere else.
There you go. And you can call Cafe Positano and make a reservation for that night, or any night for that matter, at 407-774-8080. That's Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida, 407-774-8080. And you may be able to win a $20 gift card tomorrow night to Cafe Positano, because Mike's come up with, well, quite a challenge, it sounds like here.
I think it's exciting, Chris.
Can you write, in 30 seconds or less, can you describe an opening scene of the new Bond movie with a politically correct James Bond as script?
Now, can you imagine how horrible that would be? I had a nightmare thinking, oh my God, if I go to this movie and it's made politically correct, I won't like it. So what I did, I sat down, I tried to write one myself. And I'm going to give you a little idea of what we're looking for. And as you know, the opening scene sets the agenda for the film. And the way mine starts is this. The movie Spectra opens up with James Bond walking out of a health club having just received a coffee enema by Starbucks. As he steps outside, he hops into his new Tesla instead of his Austin Martin.
Oh, yeah.
He immediately checks his stun gun. Yeah, we know about guns, right?
Right.
And looks at his Apple Watch to receive his assignment. Bond is told his assignment is to break a worldwide fracking cartel. This cartel has freed billions of people from poverty due to the extremely low energy prices. The two main villains of the fracking cartel are a gay named Mr. D, and that's not for Dallas, and a transgender named Switch. Bond must convince these two villains to let gas prices rise and put more people back into poverty so the world politicians can have a better life.
Okay.
So come up with your opening scene.
But it's got to be 30 seconds or less, okay?
It's not that much longer. If they write it up quickly, they can roll it out and read fast.
All right, around 30 seconds. All right, we want a politically correct opening scene for the new James Bond movie. So anyway, we'll do that Thursday night.
Thursday night, I think we're going to have some excellent creativity. I'm looking forward to hear what the call-ins on this.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
All right, but tonight we got some tickets to give away. Well, I don't think we have time in this segment. We'll do it when we come back from the break. We got some tickets to give away for the Taste of Taste in the park. I keep forgetting this.
Taste of the town. Taste of the park. Street. Taste of the highway.
Taste in the park.
Taste of a popcorn.
No, that's coming up on the 19th. But Taste in the Park is coming up this Sunday, and it's at the Maitland Civic Center, and it's to benefit the Jewish Pavilion. And they got over 60 food vendors who are going to be out there for this thing.
Sounds like goodie.
I heard you list them the other day. That really sounded like a heck of a deal, no matter what the price is.
So that's right.
That should be a fun event, of a pretty social event.
Yeah,
should
these
be a lot of fun for the listeners.
$15 in advance, but we'll be giving a couple of pairs away on the other side of this news break. So please don't go away. Get those phones out. Get them ready, because you won't want to miss out on this.
Ed Smart.
And we're back. That's right, folks. Thanks for being with us tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. Let's go ahead. Don't want to keep you waiting any longer. Let's give away those two pairs of tickets to A Taste in the Park, which will be this Sunday at the Maitland Civic Center, noon to 3 p.m. These tickets normally in advance are $15 for per person, $40 for a family of four, and you can get them at jewishpavilion.org. That's jewishpavilion.org. But if you'd like a pair, you can perhaps get them free right now. 407-774-8255 is the number. We'll take, let's say, the fourth and fifth callers, all right? 407-774-8255 is the number to get a free pair of tickets to A Taste in the Park. 60 food vendors going to be out there this Sunday, and that is this Sunday. By the way, you know, Ben Carson was in town yesterday. Jeb Bush blew through with his Jeb Can Fix It tour. And this is just the beginning, because not this weekend, but next weekend, all the candidates are going to be here for something called the Sunshine Summit, which will be going on down at the Rosen Shingle Creek. Now, this is open to the public. The tickets are fairly expensive, though, but they're like a couple of $100, I think. But you can go to, if you'd like to go to the Sunshine Summit, go to sunshinesummit.gop, and you can get your tickets there, and you can get a discount if you type in the code radio. And so the candidates will be in town. Ted Cruz will be making several local appearances. And I just got this from Carl Jackson. He will actually be the MC at an event where Ted Cruz will be the featured speaker. Ted Cruz rally, that is, that will be held at his church. And that will be next Friday, not this Friday, but Friday the 13th. And that is the weekend that the Sunshine Summit will be going on, the 13th and the 14th at the Rosen Shingle Creek. So if you would like to take advantage of that, I'll get the details. Carl's church is located at, it is at, it's Lake Underhill Drive and Chickasaw Trail out there. So, Carl, if you'll send me the name of your church and the address, I'll give that out on the air. But that'll be Friday the 13th. If you'd like to see Ted Cruz, plus he's got other events that he'll be at as well that I'll be telling you about. The Sunshine Summit next weekend. They're coming to town. Santa Claus is coming. No, that's not Santa Claus. Oh, that's Barack Obama.
Well, you know, we're getting close. What, a month or so away?
Yeah. I want to go back, though, real quick, mm-hmm. Mike, to your little politically correct James Bond scenario there.
Bond.
And how the villains are the fracking cartel.
Yeah.
And,
but isn't that, well, think about that. I could see that in a politically correct, they go after the fracking cartel because, really, they save the world. But, you know, the politicians wanted to destroy the world. Too many people came out of poverty.
Well, it's odd because, you know, I mean, because yesterday we were talking about this Bill Gates. He did this interview for Atlantic Magazine where he said the private sector is inept, and that capitalism can't save us from climate change, right?
Oh,
and in essence, what he's also saying is that capitalism is the villain here, which is what you're talking about in your alternate Bond universe.
Right.
And I brought up an article that I'd been reading in the Wall Street Journal. This was from Saturday and Sunday, the 24th. So it was a week ago, this past weekend. It was 10 days ago now. And I didn't have the article with me yesterday, but I've got it with me today. It's called The Myth of Basic Science. and subtitled "Does Scientific Research Drive Innovation?" And it's by Matt Ridley, and he's the author of a book called "The Evolution of Everything: How New Ideas Emerge." And as I said, he talks about how technology evolves, and it evolves at its own pace, and you can't rush it, and you can't stifle it, you can't slow it down. By the way, congratulations to Rick and Tim. They got the tickets, the pairs of tickets to A Taste in the Park. We'll have some more tickets to give away tomorrow. So if you didn't get them tonight, you can perhaps get a pair tomorrow. And you can always buy your tickets at jewishpavilion.org. He talks about, for instance, how there were 23 other people besides people working in the Edison complex who were working on a light bulb. If Thomas Edison hadn't invented it, somebody else would. Same with the telephone, same with radio. Right. You name an invention, and there was more than one person who was at the time inventing that invention. And it still happens today. And we have reached the stage now where the internet is so advanced, the internet, in essence, exists in its has a life of its own, let's just say. And it would be hard to disconnect it, turn it off, because so many things now rely on the internet. And it kind of reminded me of a movie, and we were talking about it earlier during one of the breaks, and General Paris reminded me of the name of the movie. It's called The Forbin Project. And this came out, what, in about the late 60s?
Late 60s, yep.
Yep. And it's about the United States and the Soviet Union had gotten together. They were worried about and this was kind of like the Dr. Strangelove genre,
right,
where
now
a human error would cause a nuclear war, right? And so each nation got together, and they built these supercomputers, and they put them like in the sides of mountains where they would be protected. And the United States supercomputer was called Colossus.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, after they built them, and they were all secured and everything, and they locked them into the mountain where no human could access it, they then turned them on and connected them with one another. And in essence, the computers took over. And they then took over because they had been designed to take over the nuclear arsenals. They blackmailed the human beings.
That's great.
And they said,
Bond,
they
James
said,
Bond.
You will do what we tell you to do, or we will blow you up. But that's the bad news. The good news is we are much smarter than human beings, and we will devise a society that will be totally peaceful, and everything will be great, right? The only problem is now we're under the thumb of Colossus and its Soviet counterpart. Well, kind of we're in that situation today with the internet. We are so reliant on the internet that it is more or less controlling us, and it is controlling the pace of technological innovation. And that will occur now, as it has always occurred, at its own pace. And it has nothing to do with government interaction with the scientific community. And as a matter of fact, in this guy's studies, the more government is involved in scientific endeavors, the more it gets in the way of things.
Because it's not a free market
exactly
movement. And I mean, I'm disappointed. I can't believe Gates would make a statement like that when he was nothing but a product of capitalism. I mean, just imagine where he produces the parts, et cetera. He's in China.
Yeah.
Wherever he can get the cheapest price, that's where he's going. I mean, this is a guy, you talk about a complete phony, a guy that forgot from where he came from. You know, hey, Gates, you are strictly a capitalist of the highest order. There is no bigger capitalist than you. And to come out and make a statement, we all know he's been an Obama supporter and he's a greenie and all that.
But yeah.
You ought to look like today in the news, there was an article that says, new study finds Antarctic ice growing, countering earlier government studies.
Oh, yeah.
And what if he reads? I guess he doesn't read the internet.
Well, John L. Casey's been telling us about that for some time. Let me just read the last paragraph. There were several I wanted to read, but let me just read the last paragraph. Once again, this is a Wall Street Journal article, The Myth of Basic Science by Matt Ridley. Last paragraph says, the perpetual innovation machine that feeds economic growth and generates prosperity is not the result of deliberate policy at all, except in a negative sense. Governments cannot dictate either discovery or invention. They can only make sure that they don't hinder it. That's in a good world. Innovation emerges unbidden from the way that human beings freely interact if allowed. Deep scientific insights are the fruits that fall from the tree of technological change. In other words, get government the hell out of the way, and technology, innovation, the evolution of that process will deliver the answers that Mr. Gates says the system is inept and not up to the challenge. He's so totally wrong.
You read should be posted on all the academic doors of the business departments of most universities. That was great. A great summary.
All right. We got Ron on the line. Ron, thank you for calling. Hey.
I've been trying not to call because last time I called, your station blew up when Nick hung up on me.
That was when we got struck by lightning, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
And I was going to compliment you for your prayers on Fridays.
And I
was rambling on about Jesus Christ, and Nick says, "Hey, Ron, I got to go," and he hung up on me, and I got really hurt. Then I got mad. So I'd like
normal
to know,
reaction here.
We don't have to talk about it tonight because I called about James Bond, but I'd like to know at what point did the lightning bolt hit when I got hung up on.
Nick, do you remember? It was like right after that, I think.
It must have been during because things were going off, problems were happening, I heard loud explosions, so I had to let the caller go. I do apologize.
Yeah, well, I wasn't even going to go on air. I said, just ask him for me. So you were putting it on the computer.
And bam, we got hit.
Yeah, and I was angrier than living hell because I felt like he hung up on me. But
no, believe me, that was...
I didn't think so.
Yeah, even if he, we couldn't have done anything anyway because we were dead. I mean, we were dead in the water.
I've been trying not to call since I caused that. So
call any day but Friday the 13th, okay?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Didn't the hurricanes hit on the 13th?
That was August 13th,
Charlie?
Yeah.
A couple days after my birthday. And I had a mess. I still got a mess. I still haven't repaired my house. But listen to this. Mike, you had to mention James Bond.
I know. Are you a fan of Bond?
Two nights ago, I'm so bored. I'm so sick of watching all this leftist propaganda, every TV show they make, every movie.
Both of us.
Right?
Yep.
So I got all my old CDs out all over the floor, and I'm looking, what can I watch? And I'm like, well, Fury. I love Fury, but I've seen it a thousand times.
I know. I'm like you. I've seen it enough. Great movie.
I watched it again the other night. So there's Quantum of Solace laying there. And I'm like, oh, man, I love that movie, but I'm not ready to watch that again, right?
Right.
So you had to mention that, but you left one thing out. When he pulls his stun gun out, he's going to have to call the Obama White House for permission to activate his gun.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, I was trying to infer a lot of these things.
That's why I called Chris.
I like that.
All right, and listen, when the new one comes out on DVD, I've had to listen to Mike talk about every spaghetti dinner. My mom used to make the best spaghetti, and I've made a few of them before she died, but it gives me really bad acid. My esophagus is gone, and my heart's failing, and everything. But so I got to hear Mike talk about these meatballs.
I've
been craving meatballs for years.
I know, and they are extremely...
You poor fella.
Okay, so I'm going to eventually get off my keister and make some homemade meatballs when I fix the stove and everything else.
I hear you.
Okay.
It sounds like my house.
I'll tell you what. When the James Bond comes out on DVD, Mike needs to invite us all over to his house.
I think we could do that, but the thing I want...
You'll do some cooking, right?
We're looking forward.
He can cook, yeah, but I'll bring some beer and a Bible. Chris, you can bring your Bible.
Okay.
And I'll bring some Coors Light.
I'll bring the martinis, so we'll be all set. All right.
What were you saying there, Mike?
No, what I was saying is I think Thursday is going to be hilarious. So we've had, our last contest, we had like 38 callers.
We got some creative folks out there.
I like this idea. You create the first, 30 seconds of the movie, taking political correctness. I mean, imagine how these PC people could ruin everything, even including a James Bond movie. So we'll see what derives here on Thursday.
All right, Ron, God bless you. Thank you for calling, and please don't hesitate to call back. All right, we appreciate you. All right, once again, You can see and hear Ted Cruz speak at a rally. It will be at the Faith Assembly of God at the intersection of 417 and Econ Lockahatchie Road. And that's also 417 would be parallel with Lake Underhill Road. So 417 Econ Lockahatchie, 2:30 to 4. That's Friday the 13th. Ted Cruz, Faith Assembly of God. Carl will be emceeing. So please get on out there and check it out. We'll be right back.
Send in the clowns. Send in the White House. Send in Barack Obama. This is Mike Macbeth with Christopher Hart. And we are certainly opinionated tonight on anything.
All right. Speaking of sending in the clowns, you know, what this started, what, last spring when we had these colleges announce that their mask had to be like gender neutral, and transgender one,
gay, transgender, that. Normal, well, an animal. It was just gotten to the point it's ridiculous.
Well, now there's a new mascot out there called Buddy.
Oh, Chris, you know what's happening today in Ohio? They're Buddy. Voting. For the use of marijuana.
That's today?
Yeah, for both sides, medical and, I guess, normal.
Recreational?
Normal. Is it
recreational,
normal?
Recreational, they call
what
it.
What does recreational act mean? Like, we go swimming while we're smoking? And I'm trying to figure out. We play tennis when we're smoking? Yeah, really, what does recreational marijuana mean?
Anything you want it to mean, I reckon.
Most of the people, that's what we
do it while you're coloring. I don't know.
The word stone. Stone means you don't move, you're not recreational, you're the reverse of recreational.
Right.
But like
right,
you said,
right.
Buddy. Now, this is what they're doing in Ohio to try to convince, and this is really actually sad. They send Buddy, which is a mascot. What he is, he's a walking bud. Can you imagine that? He's a marijuana bud walking around. If I saw him, I'd punch him in the head. But he walks around to the campuses and try to encourage the kids to go vote for marijuana. Is that sick? Is that sick? You know what I would do? I would honestly... I would dress a person up as the Walking Dead, you know, and have them walk around with Buddy and show you, here is the result of drugs. I'm the Walking Dead. Because this is the most insane thing I've ever heard of, Buddy. Wouldn't you like to, like, push him over, knock him down, and, you know, bang him around?
I mean, go up and see if he burns, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't say that, folks.
But Chris,
don't
really...
get any ideas, because Buddy might be coming to Florida, because we're going to have a similar vote next year.
Oh, no. I was out. You know, I saw him taking a petition the other day at the – I was at the Predator game, right? And they're out there with their little – will you sign this? I said, no. I said, the next time you come over here, I'm pouring a beer in your head. I said, because I'm on marijuana right now, and I don't know what I'm doing. But, I mean, I think it is such a perverted thing. You see this in these athletes and everything. What are these young people in high school
to think? Well, I've been meaning to ask you about this because, of course, you're NFL Players Union, Players Union. But
this isn't the players. This is my opinion.
I don't like it. I know, but what do you think about there are a number of I don't know if it's players, but there are others out there who are saying,
we'll get to that topic tomorrow.
Let's do it because we
got a lot of James Bond people, right? They're a little premature, though, don't you think, Chris?
Yeah.
Well, answer it anyway.
Diane, thank you for calling.
Hey, Mike, you're so funny.
I'm a very sick man,
you
Diane.
You should hear him when we don't have the microphones on. My God.
Can't imagine.
Oh, yeah.
The government needs us all stupid, more stupid than we already are, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what the whole marijuana push is.
Oh, it's pathetic. And, I mean, I've actually known two people who've had kids die in the last couple months, and I love it. They go, oh, this isn't a gateway drug. Mm-hmm. Oh, it isn't? Oh, okay.
You mean
how come they died?
Died of drug overdoses?
Yeah, drug overdoses.
Okay.
It's just sad. It's
But I called about James Bond. James Bond is Sean Connery, and since Sean Connery hasn't been James Bond for a really long time, it's going to be hard for me because he would never do anything politically correct.
I'm not sure any of them would. I mean, I woke up in a cold sweat thinking about, oh, my God, how about this movie we're politically correct? I would hate it.
Indeed. It just doesn't fit the character. But that's the whole idea here is...
Well, did you hear my opening position?
I did.
I mean, I thought it was pretty much politically correct. You know, do you like the name Switch? That looks like a real villain, don't you think so?
Yeah, it was really good.
That could be a James Bond villain. I'm thinking that could be big. You know, so.
Like Mr. D, right? All right, Diane, God bless you. Thank you for being out there. We appreciate you.
Hollywood will buy the script.
Let's see what JJ thinks of Switch. JJ, thanks for calling.
Hey, I just was thinking about that James Bond thing. I agree with Diane. Somebody's going to ruin it for us. Making him transgender or something.
Oh, I know. It keeps me up at night. I'm sweating right now thinking about this. You know?
I'm waiting for the first gay James Bond, right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be really... I don't even want to hear what people are going to come up with. It's just like, But listen, did either of you guys hear Dennis Prager today?
I caught bits and pieces of him. Which part?
Well, did you hear about that school, speaking of politically correct, a kid in Chicago that... A young man that feels like he's a woman.
Yeah, I saw that. And he didn't want to dress behind a screen or something.
Right.
Well, he wants to be able to use the girls' locker room.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're letting him dress in the locker room, but he has to be behind a curtain. And he says that infringes upon his rights.
Right.
And I thought Dennis Prager said, how narcissistic. You have to be able to see his genitalia or he's taking you to court.
Really? And what about the rights? What about the rights of the girls in there who don't care to see it?
Exactly.
I mean, come on. Give me a break.
Only the oddballs and these left loons have any rights anymore, it seems. You know?
But remember who really perpetuates this? It's the legal profession. Every time this goes on, thousands of dollars go to where? To our legal profession, right?
Oh,
this
yeah.
is wonderful. Sue everybody for everything. Let's go into every type of rights. This is great. And guess what? 90% of all lawyers are Democrats? You wonder why?
You wonder why.
Yeah, man, that'll be part of my next James Bond movie.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
All right, JJ, thank you. Appreciate you being out there. All right, okay, that's going to have to wrap it up for the phones for tonight. We're just about out of time. We'll bring up Buddy again some other time.
We'll have to talk about that again tomorrow. Can you imagine seeing
we'll
guy with like two little legs? He'll look like, Christy. You know how Christy looked like in a baseball uniform? Looked like two toothpicks coming out of like a ball?
Oh, well, that's what
I think Buddy probably looks like.
All right. Okay, so please do join us tomorrow night. Well, we've rescheduled the economist Steve Moore for tomorrow night's show, so we'll be talking to him about the new budget deal, about the unaffordable care.
We're going to really jump into that tomorrow.
And we perhaps will have new information on that airliner that looks more and more like it could have been shot down. At least we now know that it was an explosion of one sort. We don't know what the cause of the explosion, whether it was a missile, a bomb, or an explosion that was caused by a mechanical failure on the aircraft itself. But a Department of Defense infrared surveillance satellite did pick up a quote-unquote heat flash when that plane went down, a mid-air heat flash. So we'll keep an eye on that, and of course we'll be keeping an eye on the politics and the politicians. And once again, don't forget, Ted Cruz is coming to town. All the candidates are coming to town for the Sunshine Summit, but you'll also be able to catch Ted Cruz at the Faith Assembly Church. That's Carl's Church, Faith Assembly of God. It's located at the intersection of 417 and Econ Lockahatchee Road from 2:30 to 4 p.m. Friday, November the 13th. Carl will be emceeing that event. And he'll also be making other appearances around. And all of the candidates will be at the Sunshine Summit, which you can get tickets for. They're kind of expensive, but if you want to go, you can go to sunshinesummit.gov, and you can enter the code radio to get a discount. And we've got more news about our participation in the Sunshine Summit. We'll be delivering that to you as the week goes along. And we'll have some more tickets to give away to A Taste in the Park to benefit the Jewish Pavilion. That's going to wrap it up, though, so night, everybody.